Okay. Wow. I know many of you guys remember this, but a little over 9 months ago, I gave the welcoming speech as well at our first dinner together in Yeshiva. I'm sure most of you don't remember. I don't really remember what I said as well. But I do know that I got to welcome you to Yeshiva, and now, on behalf of the Yeshiva, I'm also getting the opportunity to say goodbye. And this is probably a good time to give compliments and say lots of good things about you guys, and not really musser. But whenever I think about compliments, I'm reminded of a story that this wife came to her husband and said, "You know, you never really compliment me. We've been living together 14 years. I never heard a compliment from you." So he looks at her with love in his eyes and he says, "A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K." She's like, "Wow, what is that?" So he says, "A, you're amazing. B, you're beautiful. C, you're charming." She says, "That's great. What, you know, what's D, E, F? D, you're delightful. E, you're elegant. F, you're firm, right? Fantastic. Like, G, you're gewaldig, you're geschmack, you're gorgeous, right? H, you're hilarious." She's like, "Wow, what's IJK? He says, "I'm just kidding." So the truth of the matter is, no words can really describe. I have the copyright on that. No words can really describe the feelings that I have towards you guys and your accomplishments this year. They truly are amazing. Looking at you guys now, looking where you were when you came in, there's really not much, you know, left to be able to say. I really feel that every single one of you is in the place where you need to be, with the tools that you need to be able to continue to do whatever it is that you need to do. But if I have a little bit more than 5 minutes to give just a short little idea, then I will try. So we just went through Shavuos, which obviously is a great way to finish our Zman together. And the Gemara in Shabbos talks about a couple of things. The Gemara says, well, many things. The Gemara says that B'shah Sheikdimu Yisrael Nasa L'Nishma, that when Am Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma, Yatzta Bas Kol V'Amr Lahen, so a voice came out and said, "Migila levanai roz zeh shemalachi asharis mishtam shembo." Who revealed the secret that the malachim use? Meaning, it sounds like the malachim have like this code word, it's nasa v'nishma, right? And we somehow got it. And my first question is, what does that even mean? What's this big secret of the malachim of nasa v'nishma? The malachim don't even have choice. Right? A malach can't decide to do something or not to do something. They don't really have bechira. So of course they're nasa v'nishma. But more than that, for every single one of us, when we were all kids, our parents said, "Go to bed." And we'd ask them why. And what would they answer? "Because I told you so." Or in other words, what were our parents demanding of us as young children? Nasa v'nishma. Just do what I said. Right? Go to bed. Why? "Because I told you so." So what's the big chiddush of nasa v'nishma? The Gemara on the next Amud continues and says that B'shash ala Moshe Lamar, when Moshe went up to receive the Torah, Amru Malachi Asharis Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim said to Hashem, "Ribono Shlolam, Mali Yilud Ish Abinenu." What's a human being doing up over here? Hashemayim, Shemayim, La Hashem, right? Why is Moshe here? So, Amar Lahen, so Hashem says to the Malachim, "Lekabel Torah Ba," came to receive the Torah. So the Malachim say, "Amr lefan of Chamuda Gnuza Shegnuza lecha Chamos v'Shivim v'Arba Doros Kodem Shenever Olam." The Torah was created 974 generations. We say Asher Tziva le'Elef Dor. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the 26th generation from when the world was created. That gets to 1,000. They say it's been sitting up here for 974 generations, right? Atam Evakei Shlitan Lebasa V'Dan. Now you want to give it to man? Quotes a pasuk, "Ma'anosh ki tizkerenu ben Adam ki sifgedenu Hashem Adoninu ma'adir shimcha b'chal ha'aretz." Anyway, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe and says, "Hachzir lahem tshuva." Moshe, the malachim are asking, "Why should I give you the Torah?" I want you to answer them. Why should I give you the Torah? So Moshe says to Hashem, "Misyari ani, I'm afraid of the angels. Shema yisrfuni behevel shodifiyah. They might burn me from these fires, wisps of flame that come out of their mouth. So Amar Lo, so Hashem says, Echoz b'kisei kvodi v'chazor lam tshuva. Hold on to my kisei hakavod and answer them. And then Moshe goes and gives a whole list of things that it says in the Torah, like kavidas avicha v'asimecha. He says to the Malachim, do you have parents you have to honor? It says, I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt from a house of slaves. Were you there? Moshe gives off a whole list and they're like, sababa, Moshe, you win. They give him some gifts and Moshe comes down with the Torah. And, you know, this Gemara raises a couple of other questions as well. And that is, why be scared of the Malachim? If Hashem just told you to answer them, Hashem has your back, right? So why would Moshe say, I'm scared? Hashem just told him to answer. So then what does Hashem respond to that? Hold on to my kisei hakavod. How does that help? What does that do? It's like in Tad, right? You have like that safe spot, like the home base where if you're standing on it, no one can touch you. How does that work? So now they can't burn him if he's holding on to the kisei hakavod? And also this concept of the flames of their mouth, hevel shodifim, what does that represent? Right? What's this whole conversation that went on over here? So the kitzer, we find this concept of hevel shodifim elsewhere in Shas. We find it in regards to tinoko shel beis rabim, to little children. Okay? What's unique about little children and their Torah? Speak about yavo tahorim. A child is so pure. When they come to learn Torah the first time, they're young, they haven't seen the world and everything that's out there, and their approach to Torah is one which is so pure and so holy that the words that come out of their mouth is this concept of hevel shebifiyam. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want me to compete against the Malachim on behalf of Klal Yisrael, that we should get the Torah? But Hevel Shebifiyam, the Malachim are so pure. They've never done an Avera in their life. You're going to pit that against a human being who has a Yetzer Hara, who's dirty, who's in this constant battle? How can I beat them? Right? Obviously they deserve the Torah. What am I supposed to say to them? He wasn't scared about being burnt physically, right? He just didn't have a good answer. But Hashem gives him the answer. Hashem says, hold on to my kisei hakavod. Hold on to my throne. We know, what's the concept of a throne? A throne represents malchus, power, kingship. There's a king sitting on the throne. He's in control. That's the whole idea that Amalek, we say when Amalek's still around, in kiso shalom, the throne of Hashem is not complete, right? Because a malchus, a throne, is when there's completeness around oneness. What shows Hashem's melucha in this world? What really brings about into this world, in a real way, the fact that Hashem is Melech? Is it an angel who doesn't have Bechira, doing what Hashem wants? Or is it a Jew who has Bechira, who chooses to do the right thing? Hashem wasn't saying, hold on to my throne and be safe. Rather, the answer is, my kisei hakavod. See, the Maharal says that an angel is an isolated ratzon Hashem. Doesn't have a choice. They were created to be Mishtam Shimbo. They just use Nasa V'Nishma. That's their DNA, Nasa V'Nishma. They're machines in that sense. But when we choose Nasa, when every single one of us chooses to do the right thing, the Maharal says then we're one up on the angels. We have the potential to reach a higher level than an angel because we get to that level of Nasa not because we have to do it, because we're programmed to do it, but rather because we chose to do it. And our choice to do the right thing is what is Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the Malachim put the Malachim put crowns on our head. Because Moshe's answer to the Malachim was, you may be perfect, but it's dafka because we aren't perfect that we're able to create the Kisei of Hashem. This concept of, not because I have to do it, but because I want to do it. This is a very important concept in life. Because when I do something because I want to do it, that shows Ahava, that shows love. You all go home soon, you see maybe, I don't know if it happens, in Israel it happens, but you see your mother taking out the garbage. So you can feel a moral obligation to go run and grab the garbage. Why? Because she's my mother, I have to do it, right? Or on a much deeper level, you go and you grab that garbage. Why? Because I want to do it, because I love my mother, and why should she be taking out the garbage? I could learn Torah every day because Koveit and Latorah, I have to do it. But if I do the same thing, but not because of that feeling of I have to do it, but because I want to do it, the Nasa, that creates a tremendous sense of warmth in this world and love between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the question is, though, how do we get to that point from understanding? Okay, we all hopefully understand that we need to do it, right? We understand that we need to do it. But how do we get to that point where we want to do it? So I remember hearing a story one time where this woman was very nice. She had a good relationship with her husband. Every morning, they would sit in their kitchen, and they would have coffee together. And it happened to be that their kitchen window looked right out into like the neighbor's area where they would hang their laundry. And this woman told her husband, she's like, I don't understand. Like, what's wrong with that, our next door neighbor? Their laundry is always dirty. Every morning she goes, I don't know if it's a problem with the detergent that she's using. I don't know if it's a problem with the machine that she has. I don't know if she just doesn't know how to do laundry. Maybe she didn't read the manual. You know, maybe you could find out and show, you know, ask the husband, like, subtly. Maybe they don't have enough money for a machine, you know? And this went on for weeks, where they'd sit down, have coffee, and she just was mesmerized by the dirty laundry. And one morning, she's sitting with her husband, and she's like, I don't believe it. Their laundry, look at it. It's totally clean, perfectly white. They must have got a new machine or new detergent or something. And then she notices that her husband's turning a little bit red. So she says, everything okay? He's like, yeah, I just wanted to tell you, I woke up a little bit early this morning, and I cleaned our kitchen windows. She went through the last few weeks thinking that her neighbor's laundry was dirty, when in reality, the windows that she was looking out of were dirty. The laundry was clean the whole time. Her perspective was flawed. For those of you who have glasses, you know, like, some of you don't even realize, like, how dirty it is until you actually clean it, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I can see much better. And I think that's the answer over here. It's a question of perspective. It's one choice at a time. The world that we live in, Hashem has shown us very clearly just how dirty it is. I know we all look at America like, oh my gosh, there's so many Yetzer Haras, right? So big, so much to do. But you can also look at it and say, it's so clear what the Yetzer Hara is. Could be 100 years ago, it wasn't so clear what the Yetzer Hara was. But right now, it's out there in front of us. We all know what's good. We all know what's bad. So there's a lot of bad things. Why is that a Yetzer Hara? If it's bad and it's dirty, do you want to be dirty? Do you want to be that person that we're able to look at now from our clean windows and see that they're dirty and then just become that person? Does that sound tempting, like, to anybody? Is that what you want? You want to just go out to college and waste 4 years of your life that you can't even remember? Does that sound geschmack? It's dirty. Hashem's shown us very, very clearly what's going on. The problem is that the Nisyonos, the Yetzer Hara knows, he can't just get us with one thing. Because if he comes to us, he's like, hey, go, there's no way you're going to do it. So what the Yetzer Hara does is he piles up one test over another test over another test, and it's, you know, when you're feeling down because you had, you know, something happened in your personal life, and then you didn't do so well in a test, and then you didn't get so much sleep, and then you lost your wallet, and then you couldn't find your car keys, and things pile up, and then you find yourself doing something you shouldn't be doing. That's the only way the Yetzer Hara can get you, right, is when he overloads you. We're to the point where you can't think anymore. This is what Paro did to Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim. He loaded up the work that they had no time to stop and think. That's what this year was about, taking a year to stop and to think. And the trick is that when you feel yourself, that tank getting full, and you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed, take a break, take a step back. I had this chus for 2 years to sit next to Rav Shurkin, Night Seder, when I was in Toras Moshe. And one night I came into Night Seder, I was looking a little bit down. He didn't even know who I was, but he's like, young man. He's like, what's the matter? I started talking, he's like, you know, I don't even care. He says, let me give you a piece of advice. He says, if it's something that you can fix, fix it. And if you can't, just don't worry about it. Spend your time worrying about things that you could actually change. Take it one thing at a time, because each decision on its own, losing your wallet, okay, you can deal with it. Not finding your car keys, you can deal with it. You didn't do so well in a test in college, you can deal with that also. Every single thing can be dealt with, but you have to try to break it down, use your perspective, take a deep breath, ask for help when you need it, and things that are out of your control, you daven to Hashem for help with those things because they're out of your control. We need to isolate and destroy just one thing at a time. There is zero excuse for any person in this room not to continue to grow. There is zero excuse. Just don't lie to yourselves. Don't lie to yourselves by saying, oh, you know, I didn't learn today. Oh, that's okay. No, it's not okay. You already know where the bar is. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. And you have a choice. Do I want to be clean or do I want to be dirty? Being dirty does not sound appealing to me. It just doesn't. But the problem is when you get a little bit of dirt and a little bit more dirt, then you start to see the world, the dirty world, as being clean. And that's where you fall into a problem. So my advice to you is always stop to think. That's the beautiful thing about having Shabbos. It's an opportunity also to reflect back on your week and to think about what you're going to do your next week. Hashem built into our life times where we have opportunities to stop and to think. And if you stop, you're like, yo, I feel like this week wasn't so great. So let me call my Rebbe now. Let me get back in touch. Let me call my friends. Get back in touch with them as well. And I get back on track. It never reaches the point where you should ever feel embarrassed to reach out to one of your Rebbeim in yeshiva. I promise you, I can say this on behalf of every single Rebbe, even if, God forbid, the worst thing happens and you lose your way, there is nothing more that we would like to hear is your voice, just to hear back from you. Even if it's 5 years or 10 years down the line, to get a call, you're reaching out for help, we're there for you. Obviously, we don't want you to get to that point, but it never becomes awkward. This wasn't a one-year deal for us, and it wasn't a one-year deal for any of you. This is a lifelong relationship, and you have our commitment to every single one of you. But just don't lose focus. Clean your perspective. That's what it's really about. So how do I reach the point where I want to do it? The answer is because I don't want the other thing. I don't have to do it because I have to do it. I want to do it because this way I have perspective. I see the world for what it is, and I can make my decisions the way that they actually need to be made, and I can feel really, really good about myself. Because I don't think there's anybody here who doesn't feel good about themselves and what they'd accomplished this year. Don't lose that. The Gemara in Brachos says that Kimifterei Rabbanan, when the rabbis would leave one another, they would end off with the bracha. And hopefully you guys will give us brachas tonight, because Gemara elsewhere says that as much as I learn from my rabbis, I learn more from my friends, I learn the most from my students. I can say that every year, for me, it's a tremendous learning experience getting to learn from my Talmidim, where I get to become the Talmud. And, you know, my wife would even say I've matured a little bit over these years. So I want to thank everybody for giving me that opportunity to learn from all of you. But I'd like to give all of you a bracha as well. And that bracha is that you guys should always set your goals high and strive even higher than them. You should always make good choices in life. You should always surround yourselves with good people. People who are good influences upon you, and people that you can be good influences upon them. You should always be a source of joy to your parents and grandparents, to your friends, to your family. And you should be zocha to bring up the next generation of young boys and girls who hopefully will have the proper perspective as well on what it means to be a true, good, from Yid. And Bezer Sashab, you should never forget where you came from. Always take the time to think about where you're going. And Amir Tzah Hashem only experience tremendous amounts of pleasure in everything that you do. Amen.